الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is right, say that which is proper. Brothers and sisters, last time when we met, we were traveling with Imam Ahmad and his student Muhammad ibn Nuh. As they were traveling to go to Ma'mun, the Khalifa at that time. And as we begin to travel with them again, I just wanted to remind all of us that as we travel with them, reflect on the profiles of courage that come out from their character. And certainly these profiles of courage are applicable to our lives today. Because many of us, if not most of us, we are beginning to cower in the presence of the pressure that has been foisted upon us to practice our Islam. Many of us are shy to go out and shy to speak about Islam. Many of us don't want to be noticed as Muslims. And many of us, as they say, are trying to pull back, are trying to just be conservative, as they say, and not to make any waves, so to speak. But in the midst of all of this, the believer steps up to the plate and is ready for action. And is ready to talk openly and to speak with courage and to act with courage. During the times of trial and tribulation, it is time to step up. It is time to get more active and to become more dynamic. It is not the time to pull back and say that, let me wait till the storm passes, and then I'll come out from my suburbs, or I'll come out from my closet. No. This is not the way the believer behaves. So we're traveling with Imam Ahmad. And Imam Ahmad and his student Muhammad ibn Nuh, as they are led to Ma'mun, on the way they stop. And when they stop, Imam Ahmad makes a dua, and he makes the salah, and he makes his dua. Remembering that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Innama yansurullahu hadhihi al-umma bidha'ifiha." Surely Allah will make this ummah victorious by the virtue of its weak. Bidawatihim wa salatihim wa ikhlasihim, by virtue of their du'as, by virtue of their salah, and by virtue of their sincerity. Three things that Imam Ahmad had. And the du'a was a very powerful du'a, as all of you know. This du'a changed the commander-in-chief. This dua changed the entire political situation at that time. They didn't need elections. They just needed a dua from a sincere heart, a heart that was devoted to Allah. It was a dua that sent the Khalifa to the next world, to the hereafter. It was a dua that rid humanity of a despotic ruler, of an oppressor. So after Ma'mun passed away, the security forces of Ma'mun, they were kind of confused. They didn't know what to do with Imam Ahmad and Muhammad ibn Nuh. So they talked about it among themselves, and they decided, well, we'll take him back to this prison they call Ruqa', and we'll take him back there. So they started marching back to another prison that they had passed on the way, which was named Ruqqa'. And as they were going to this prison, Muhammad ibn Nuh, the student of Imam Ahmad, he fell sick. And he began to feel so sick that he felt as if the onset of death was very near, as if he's going to die very soon. So they stopped in a place to see if he would recover. And as everybody was waiting around, Muhammad ibn Nuh, he was so tired that he was lying down. And he beckoned to Imam Ahmad to come near him. And Imam Ahmad came near him and he said to Imam Ahmad, he whispered in his ears, and he said, and Imam Ahmad was also in chains. Muhammad ibn Nuh, despite the fact that he was sick, they did not let him out of his chains. He could hardly move, but he still had chains all over his body. His hands, his feet, all over his body. Just like Imam Ahmad. So Imam Ahmad had trouble bending down because of the weight of the chains. He was afraid he would fall. But nevertheless, he bent down on his knees to come close to Muhammad ibn Nuh. And Muhammad ibn Nuh whispered into the ear of Imam Ahmad and he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, Allah, Allah, innaka lasta misli, innaka lasta mithli, anta rajulun yuqtada bik. He said, Oh Abu Abdullah, it was a name of Imam Ahmad. He said, Oh Abu Abdullah, Allah, Allah, I'm asking from Allah and I'm asking from Allah and I swear by Allah and Allah, think of Allah. إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ مِثْلِي You're not like me. أَنْتَ رَجُلٌ يُقْتَدَى بِكْ That you are a man whom people emulate, who people are looking up to for leadership. قَدْ مَدَّ الْخَلْقُ أَعْنَاقَهُمْ إِلَيْكَ لِمَا يَكُونُ مِنْكَ All of creation, all people have extended their necks just to see what you're going to do and what's going to come from you. فَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَاثْبُتْ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ He says, so fear Allah and be firm for the sake of Allah, for the decree of Allah. Be firm. This is what he whispered into the ears of Imam Ahmad. And Imam Ahmad says, فَعَجِبْتُ He says, I was very surprised, I was pleasantly surprised at the way he talked to me. He says, And I was pleasantly surprised at the way that he warned me, at the way that he told me, how he told me. He says, then Imam Ahmad relates, he says, then the people were so merciless, the guards, that they kept on insisting that we move. And he could hardly move, but they kept on insisting. And we started moving. And soon Muhammad ibn Nuh, he fell dead. He died as they were moving. Imam Ahmad says that they stopped and he washed his body, he put him in the coffin and he buried him. And he made the salah and then he buried him. After this they resumed their journey. And eventually Imam Ahmad was the only one who made it to a prison in northern Iraq before Baghdad. He says, when we got to the prison, they put me in and as I was going in, He says, I was saying the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيَّ That, my Lord, this prison, this jail cell, is much more beloved to me than what they're calling me to do. That is to leave Islam and to say something that is against Islam. My Lord, this prison cell, this jail cell is better for me and is more beloved to me than doing, you know, saying that which is not right. So, he says that, As I went in, they left me shackled. And for a couple of nights, they didn't bother. And he says, I was saying to myself, As-sijnu kurh, wal-qaydu kurh, wal-darbu kurh, wal-wa'idu kurh, walakinnahu fi sabilillahi hayyin. He said that I know that prison is very bad. is very distasteful, very hateful. And I know that being in the shackles and the chains that I'm in is very hateful. And I know that being whipped is very hateful, something that no one likes. And I know that getting all these threats against me and the punishment and all of this, this is bad. And it's very hateful. وَلَكِنَّهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ هَيِّنٌ. But for the sake of Allah, all this is easy. All this is okay. His grandson came up to Imam Ahmad and he told him that, look, how are you going to pray? You're on all these shackles and the chains are on you and they're not letting you go. How are you going to pray? Why don't you just let the prayer go? I mean, how are you going to pray? And you just possibly having all these chains, you can't, when you sit down in the last rak'ah, you can't sit down properly like the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit down. So how are you going to sit? How are you going to pray? So Imam Ahmad, with total confidence in Allah, with total calmness, responded and he said, كَيْفَ مَا تَيَسَّرَ وَأَطَاقَ. A person can pray however easy it is for that person, and whatever that person can do. He says, فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. He said, and I praise Allah for all His help and all the blessings that He's sent my way. Where is Imam Ahmad saying this? In prison while he's in shackles. He's saying, Alhamdulillah for all the good that Allah has done for me. And Subhanallah. And glory be to Allah for in the matters that He tests His servants with. The trials that He tests His servants with. Glory be to Allah. This is Imam Ahmad. A profile of courage. He feared no one but Allah. It's as if he was saying, I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim and I do not walk alone. I fear no one except the one above that throne. Brothers and sisters, when he was in prison, Imam Ahmad, they took him and they put him in the general section where the general population of the inmates was. So, one day, he asked for some water. So the prison guards brought him some water. And along with the water, they brought him ice. So he was surprised. So he said to the people, the prison guards, that he didn't want the water. So they were surprised. At first he wanted it, now he doesn't want it, now he put it aside. So they said to him, لِمَاذَ لَا تَشْرَبْ? Why don't you want to drink this water? He said, هَلْ عِنْدَكْ مَاءٌ وَثَلْجٌ يَكْفِينِي وَمَنْ مَعِيَ فِي السِّجِنِ. He said that, do you have water and ice for me and for everyone else here in the prison? They said, لا. No, of course not. He said, كَيْفَ أَشْرَبُ مَاءً بِثَلْجٍ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ فِي السِّجِنِ لَا يَشْرَبُونَ. He says, how can I drink water with ice and everybody who's around me in this prison is not going to drink? This is character. These are Islamic manners. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you has total iman unless and until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. In the midst of this persecution, in the midst of this torment, Imam Ahmad wanted some water, but he sacrificed it because the rest of his brothers in the prison were not going to have water. So he didn't want it either. A great lesson for us to learn today of how sacrifice must be for each other. Of how we have to dig down deep into our pockets to spend for the sake of Allah. To spend for others. If we have something and others don't have it, then perhaps we have to pull back from having those things until everybody else can also have it. Imam Ahmad, he says, a few days after this incident, my uncle, Ishaq, he visited me in prison. And he said to me that, look, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just give in? And just say what they want you to say. Because they wanted them to say that the Quran was created. So he said, why don't you just go ahead and give in? And we know who you are. We know that what you stand for. But just why don't you just go ahead and give in? Look, all your peers, all the other scholars, they have given in. So why don't you just go ahead and give in and stop this nonsense? Because after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهِ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِمَانِ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look, whoever disbelieves, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they disbelieve after they've had iman, His anger is upon those people. Except those people who've been forced to do something, but yet their hearts are content with believing in Allah. So his uncle was using this part of the ayah. This ayah is in Surah An-Nahl. So he was using this part of the ayah that, look, the one who's forced, and as long as in their hearts they're confident of Allah, then it's okay. It's not a big deal. Why do you have to make such a big deal about this? Just go ahead and give in and you know, stop all this stuff. Imam Ahmad, he came with the response of a believer. He said, وَكَيْفَ تَصْنَعُونَ بِحَدِيثِ خُبَّاب ابن الْأَرَثِ What are you all going to tell me about the hadith of this sahabi, Khabbab? When he quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that those people who came before you, some of them were sawed in half with a saw. ثُمَّ لَا يَصُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ And even that did not stop them from their practice of Islam. Even if they were sawed in half, they didn't give up on their Islam. So his uncle, he said, okay, and he gave up on Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad then began talking to himself, and he began saying that, look, it's being in prison doesn't bother me. Because for me, whether I live at home or whether I live in this jail cell, it's the same thing. And I don't fear that they're going to kill me with the sword. That doesn't bother me. But what does bother me a little is being whipped at the stake. I'm afraid that I may not be able to be patient. أَخَافُ أَلَّا أَصْبِرُ I'm afraid I may not be patient enough to go through that punishment. So one of the other Muslims who was there, who had been in prison for robbery and so on, and for doing other wrong things, and who himself had been whipped at least 20,000 times, this Muslim, he overheard Imam Ahmad talking to himself. And he said, Ya Aba, La Alayka Ya Aba Abdullah. Abu Abdullah talked to Imam Ahmad. He said, you don't have to worry about anything. Ma huwa illa sultan. It's only two strikes with the whip. And after that, whatever happens, you know, ثُمَّ لَا تَدْرِي أَيْنَ يَقَعُ الْبَاقِي Then after that, you have no idea, you know, where the rest of the whips are going to hit. You don't feel anything. So Imam Ahmad says, فَكَأَنَّهُ سُرِّ عَنِّي It's as if he consoled me totally. And now I had no fear in my heart, in my mind at all. Imam Ahmad says, after this, they came to me one day. And it was the 17th of Ramadan, he says. On the 17th of Ramadan, the orders came from the new Khalifa, Mu'tasim, to take me to his palace. But on the way, they stopped at this, the palace of the governor of Baghdad at that time, whose name was Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. He was also the chief of police. So I was taken to his place. And as I entered, he says, I almost fell over because of the heavy chains that were on me. And what they would do in the cell that they put me in, every day, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, the police chief, he would send two scholars to argue with me, back and forth, about the creation of the Quran and so on. And he says every day for 3 or 4 days this happened. For 3 days he says this happened. That he would send these two scholars and they would argue and they would leave dumbfounded. By the time they left, they didn't know, you know, they could not answer my arguments that I had presented. And Imam Ahmad would always prevail. He said, but each day that I prevailed, they put another set of chains on me. So in 4 days, I had 4 sets of chains on me. And they became very heavy. So Imam Ahmad, he says, one day they came and they began talking to me. And one of them, he said, look, how can you say that how can you say that the Quran are the words of Allah? كيف تقول أن القرآن كلام الله? You know, how can you say that the Quran is the words of Allah? Because there's nothing like Allah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُشْبِهُهُ شَيْءٍ وَالْبَشَرُ يَتَكَلَّمُونَ. And the fact is that human beings, they speak. So if human beings speak and nothing is like Allah, so then the Quran are really not the words of Allah. So Imam Ahmad, he says, فَسَأَلْتُهُ هَلِ الْبَشَرُ يَعْلَمُونَ. He said, I asked him that, do they have knowledge? So the scholar, he said, yes, na'am. So he said, okay, how can that be? How, if human beings have knowledge and nothing is supposed to be like Allah, that means that Allah does not have knowledge. If nothing is supposed to be like Allah and human beings have knowledge, that means that Allah does not have knowledge. Unless you think that Allah created knowledge. So they said, the scholar said, yes, Allah created knowledge. عِلْمُ اللَّهِ مَخْلُوقٍ. Allah's knowledge is created. So Imam Ahmad, he said, لَقَدْ كَفَرْتْ. You've just said something that is kufr. You've committed kufr. So one of the guards who was there, he said, you know, هَذَا رَسُولُ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This man that you're talking to, he's telling Imam Ahmad to be careful. But look, this man you're talking to, he's a messenger of the leader of the believers, the Khalifa meaning. So Imam Ahmad, he said, إِنَّهُ زَعَمَ أَنَّ عِلْمَ اللَّهِ مَخْلُوقٍ. This person is claiming that the knowledge of Allah is created. And he's committed kufr. So when he said this, the guard himself was amazed at how the scholar had made such a statement. And he began looking at him as, you know, as if the scholar was crazy. So Imam Ahmad then began saying out really loud, مَنْ قَالَ. Whoever says that the words, that Quran is not the word of Allah and is created, that person is a kafir. And whoever says that the knowledge of Allah is created, they're a kafir. And whoever says that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are created, they've also committed kufr. So the scholars and his guards, they gave up on Imam Ahmad. He says, On the fourth night they took me to another place. And this time I came on to Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, the police chief himself. And when the police chief met me, Imam Ahmad says, he said, Ya Ahmad, innaha wallahi nafsuk. He said, I swear by Allah that now the matter is getting really serious. That now it's your soul. You're gonna be killed. Wa inna halaf. And the Khalifa has sworn by Allah that he's not gonna kill you with the sword, but he's gonna whip you and whip you and whip you, and he's gonna put you in a place where you will never see the sun again until you give in and you recognize that and you say what he wants you to say. So Imam Ahmad, he smiled because these things did not faze him. Because after all, he was a believer. And he knew the attitude of the oppressor. He knew the attitude of the dictator. He knew the attitude of the despot. You know, that attitude that either you're with us or you're not. Either you agree with us or you'll be part of the debris. That attitude he knew very well. And so Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, he thought maybe let him take a jab at Imam Ahmad. And he said, let's see if maybe I can convince him. So he said to Imam Ahmad, he says, Ya Ahmad, Alam yaqul Allah Azza wa Jal, O Ahmad, didn't Allah in the Quran say, Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiya? Didn't Allah in the Quran say that we have put this as an Arabic Quran? So Imam Ahmad said, Na'am. So Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, he said, أَفَيَكُونُ مَجْعُولًا إِلَّا مَخْلُوقًا. That is it possible that anything that Allah has put, that it is not created? In other words, if Allah is saying, using the word ja'ala, then instead of saying put, it means to create. So the point he was trying to make is that the Quran is created. So Imam Ahmad, you know, because of being an ocean of knowledge, his answer was on the tip of his tongue. Imam Ahmad said, أَلَمْ يَقُلِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. You know, this is an ayah from Surah Al-Fil. He says, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, and He put them, you know, the people of Abraha, you know, that He put them as empty stalks that were eaten up totally? So he said, yeah, he said that. So Imam Ahmad said, فَهَلْ خَلَقَهُمْ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Did Allah create them again? You know, in order to be dried up eaten stalks? The point was that the word ja'ala does not mean create. And this is what Imam Ahmad was trying to disprove to him. And so when he said this, this Ishaq ibn Ibrahim was totally silent. And he told the other guards, he says, اِذْهَبُوا بِهِ. Take him to the Khalifa. Take him to the Khalifa. Brothers and sisters, again, these are profiles of courage, that how one single man stood up to an entire system. He was a man who had the attitude that I am a Muslim and I don't walk alone. I fear no one except the one above the throne. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, you know, الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم says, شر ما في رجل, the worst characteristics that a person can have is, he says, شح, شح هالع وَجُبْنٌ خَالِعٌ. The worst characteristics that a person can have in their character are this impatient greed that just, I have to have it now. I've got to have it now. This moment, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. That's a very bad trait in a Muslim. And the second thing is an unfettered cowardice, unrestrained cowardice. In other words, you're afraid of everything. You're afraid of this, you're afraid of that, you're always nervous, you're always tense, you're afraid of everything. Those are the two worst qualities any human being can have. And this is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jubn. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from being a coward. From being a coward. So now Imam Ahmad, he is now taken to the palace of Mu'tasim. So, he says as he enters, now the four sets of chains were on him, and he was very tired, and he almost fell over again on his face, but he was able to maintain his balance. He says that when I entered, they took me to this one room, and as I entered, it was during the day, and there was nothing in the room, nothing at all in the room. Not even a particle of dust. It was just me and my chains. It was the door and the floor and the roof and the four walls. That's all it was in that room. And they closed the door shut on me. And they left me in my chains. And right outside the door, they posted a guard. So nobody could come in, nobody could go out. He says then time passed and it was nighttime. And there was no light in my cell. It was total dark, pitch dark. Nothing at all in my cell. No light. He says, but I realized it was the middle of the night. And I had to pray. I had to do my wudu. So I began fumbling around and in my cell, and I began extending my hands this way and that way and to see if there was any pitcher of water. But I remembered that when I came into the room, there was not a single thing in this jail cell. And as I was reaching around, reaching here and there, suddenly I was shocked and I was surprised that my hand came across a pitcher of water. From nowhere, this pitcher of water came. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who exert themselves in our ways, we will guide them to our paths. We will give them. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Be grateful to Allah. If you're grateful to Allah, I will give you more. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ O you who believe, if you support the cause of Allah, Allah will support you and will make your foothold steady and firm. Imam Ahmad found this pitcher of water. He says, I did my wudu and I began praying in the chains. What were you praying, Imam Ahmad? Did you miss a fard or something? No. What was a sunnah? In that condition? You want to pray a sunnah? Don't you know Allah may forgive you? Forget about those sunnah. You want to pray tahajjud? In this condition, with all those set of chains upon yourself, don't you have more important things to worry about, like yourself? Don't you need to get depressed first? Don't you need to get sad first? Don't you need to get down on yourself first? No. You see, Imam Ahmad was thinking of Allah first. And he wasn't even thinking of himself. For him, all of this was for the pleasure of Allah. It didn't matter what trials he was going through. So, Imam Ahmad, he says he prayed, and he prayed all night long. He says the next morning they came, and they got me, and they took me to the court of Mu'tasim. He says Mu'tasim came in to his court there, and there was a chair that was set up for him, and he came, and he sat on his chair, and he took off his shoes, and he put one leg over the other, and he told the guards, "Uhduru Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Bring Ahmad ibn Hanbal in front of me." So they brought, he said they brought me in front of him. And when I went in front of him, I said, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." I gave the greetings to, said the salams to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so the Amir al-Mu'mineen, this Mu'tasim, he ignored him and he said, "Ya Ahmad, takallam wa la takhaf." Oh Ahmad, go ahead and speak and don't you be afraid of anything. Don't fear anything. Now listen to the response of Ahmad. This is the response, the courage, the power, the strength of the believer. And the presence of mind that the believer has, that Iman brings into the heart of the believer. Imam Ahmad said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Wallahi Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. لقد دخلت عليك وما في قلبي مثقال حبة من فزع. He said, I swear by Allah, O leader of the believers, when I came into your presence, I swear that not even an atom's weight or a mustard or a seed's weight of fear or terror was in my heart. In other words, he was not afraid in any way, shape, or form. So Mu'tasim said, "Utnu minni, come close to me, come close to me." And Imam Ahmad was struggling with his chains. He could hardly walk. And so he made his way over after a little while to Mu'tasim. And Mu'tasim said, "Ijlis, sit down." So as he began to sit down, he could hardly sit down, he could hardly bend, because the chains were so, they were just so limiting and so restricting, he could hardly move. But finally, after some struggle, he sat down. And so, Imam Ahmad said, "تأذن لي بالكلام? Would you let me speak? Can I go ahead first?" So, Mu'tasim said, "تكلم, go ahead and speak." So, Imam Ahmad says to him, إلى ما دعا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us to come to? What did he invite us to? So Mu'tasim said, Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. He invited us to bear witness that there's no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So Imam Ahmad said, وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ And I bear witness that there is no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So Mu'tasim was silent. Because Mu'tasim knew what Imam Ahmad is pointing to. Because Mu'tasim knew that Imam Ahmad, what he was saying is that we're supposed to believe in Allah and His Prophet. There's nothing about the creation of the Quran. So what are you all talking about? So Mu'tasim was silent. So Imam Ahmad, he said, let me say one more thing. And he was very intelligent. So Imam Ahmad said, حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَى بْنِ السَّعِيدِ عَنْ شُعْبَةِ. He said that Yahya ibn Sa'id told us on the authority of Shu'bah, قال حَدَّثَنِي أَبُو حَمْزَة. He said that Abu Hamza told me, قال, and Abu Hamza said, سَمِعْتُ ibn Abbas, that I heard Ibn Abbas say the following, relate the following hadith. Now, Imam Ahmad was very smart, and he said about Ibn Abbas, because Ibn Abbas was one of the forefathers of Mu'tasim. Because Mu'tasim was from the Abbasi caliphate. And he was from the descendants of Ibn Abbas. So Imam Ahmad was very careful, very intelligent, to use the name of Ibn Abbas. And to use a hadith that had Ibn Abbas's name in it. Because he knew that the minute he heard the name of Ibn Abbas, Mu'tasim would perk up his ears and would listen even more carefully. So he said, I heard this hadith from Ibn Abbas, who said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had this incident. لَمَّا جَاءَ وَفْدُ عَبْدِ قَيْسِ. When the delegation of Abd Qais came to Prophet Muhammad, in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أَمَرَهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ. He told them to have faith in Allah and to have iman in Allah. So, فَقَالَ أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ. That do you all know, his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the people, this delegation that came to learn about Islam, he said that do you all know what it means to have faith and have iman in Allah? And so the people said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Prophet know best. At that point, a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that al-imanu billah, believing in Allah, means shahadatu an la ilaha illallah, that bearing witness that there is no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah, number one. Number two, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and Muhammad is the Prophet of Allah. Number three, wa iqam as-salah, and establishing the salah. Number four, wa ita'u az-zakah, and to give the zakah. And number five, wa sawmu Ramadan. And number six, wa an tu'tu al-khums min al-maghnam. And that, you know, from the money that is collected at the time of jihad, that you give a fifth of it to the Khalifa. Now Imam Ahmad was very smart in the way that he said this hadith. First of all, he used the hadith from Ibn Abbas, because it was a relative of Mu'tasim. Then, secondly, he related a hadith in which there was nothing mentioned about the creation of the Qur'an. And that this is all of what Islam is supposed to be. And Mu'tasim realized that. And so Mu'tasim was frustrated, and he turns to Imam Ahmad and he says, لولا وجدتك في يد رجل من قبلي. Had I not found you in the hands of the man before me, talking about the Khalifa Ma'mun before me, ما تعرضت لك, I would have never bothered you, I would have never turned my attention towards you. And then he turned to the son of Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, who was the police chief, and he said, ألم أمرك, that didn't I order you, أن ترفع المحنة, that didn't I order you to stop all this persecution of all these scholars and all that? So the son of Imam Ahmad, who was there, Salih, he said, I said to myself, فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ, that this is, you know, Allah is great. You know, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفَرَجًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, that this, you know, as if Mu'tasim is now convinced that he's going to let all the Muslims go. I said, Allahu Akbar. So, Mu'tasim, he began thinking a little bit. And he said, okay, well, before that happens, let me ask Imam Ahmad himself. And he said to Imam Ahmad, كَيْفَ تَقُولُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, what do you have to say about the Qur'an? Now, Imam Ahmad is on the verge of being let go. He's on the verge of finishing all this persecution. And he asked him this one final question, what do you have to say about the Qur'an? And so Imam Ahmad says, كَلَامُ اللَّهِ قَدِيمٌ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. He said to him that I believe that the Qur'an are the words of Allah. Eternal. They always existed. And the fact is that they are not created. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says very clearly, and He mentioned an ayah from Surah At-Tawbah, where He said that, and if any of the pagans, they come to you, seeking protection, give them refuge until they hear the words of Allah. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ Mu'tasim was confused. All the scholars that he had all around, they could not answer Imam Ahmad. And he turned to them looking in their faces that answer him. But they couldn't say anything. So Mu'tasim said, أَلَكَ حُجَّةٌ غَيْرَ هَذِهِ That, do you have another proof besides this proof? So Imam Ahmad said, Naam ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Yeah, there are many other proofs, O leader of the believers. For example, قال الله عز وجل, الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان. الرحمن, the most merciful, who taught the Quran and created the human being. In other words, what he was trying to say, that look, Allah didn't say He created the Quran and He created the human being. No, He says He taught the Quran and He created the human being. So he says, do you have another proof? He said, yes. Yasin wal Qur'an al-Hakim. Take a look at Surah Yasin. Allah says, Yasin and the wise Qur'an. He doesn't say, wal Qur'an al-Makhluq and the created Qur'an. So Mu'tasim was just totally flabbergasted. Just totally frustrated. So he turned to his people and he said, ihbisu. Take him back to the prison. And he began talking to his people, all his scholars who were near him and so on, about how they should respond to Imam Ahmad. And with that, the first day in the presence of Mu'tasim came to an end. Brothers and sisters, if you've not learned anything today, except the fact that how courage helps the believer, then that is enough. Brothers and sisters, during trials, the believer has to stand up strong. It's not the time to hide. This is the time to come out and become more active. This is the time to sacrifice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these challenges in our lives. We are an ummah who've crossed many problems, many catastrophes. We've overcome many disasters. We are an ummah that has overcome catastrophes that are much greater than any other set of humanity. The Mongols, the what happened to us in Spain, was what happened to us in slavery, and what happened to us in this century, and what's happening now in Palestine and Iraq and Kashmir and the rest of the world, how we've overcome tremendous obstacles. This is an ummah that's a resilient ummah. It's your choice. Do you want to be a part of success? Do you want to be a part of triumph? Or do you want to watch from the sidelines? Remember, the attitude of the people of the past was, I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim and I do not walk alone. I fear no one except the one above the throne. Brothers and sisters, let us all make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from cowardice. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all brave. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون. كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. إن الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كأنهم بنيان مرصوص. وإذ قال موسى لقومه يا قوم لم تؤذونني وقد تعلمون أني رسول الله إليكم. فلما زاغوا أزاغ الله قلوبهم والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. وإذ قال عيسى بن مريم يا بني إسرائيل إني رسول الله إليكم مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ومبشرا برسول يأتي من بعد اسمه أحمد. فلما جاءهم بالبينات قالوا هذا سحر مبين. ومن أظلم ممن افترى على الله الكذب وهو يدعى إلى الإسلام. والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ذلك الفوز العظيم. وأخرى تحبونها نصر من الله وفتح قريب وبشر المؤمنين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله كونوا أنصار الله كما قال عيسى بن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله فآمن الطائفة من بني إسرائيل وكفر الطائفة فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم فأصبحوا ظاهرين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله